Yeah.
Okay, so, right, the...
Hold on.
My mum used to help in the shop with my gran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And because my uncle was out in the bakehouse doing all the cakes, pies, bread, and things like that, which, dare I say, he had a very good reputation because he got taught by his dad, his, you know, grumpy.
Yeah.
And, we left there in 1947 because my Uncle Jack had come back. They wanted the space. It was living there. You had in the shop, you went into the shop, then you went into a back door and it opened out into a parlour. Then you had another door leading off to the right, which led into a kitchen, which was half the size of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had the basic single gas ring cooker and a cold water tap, which then led out, another door which led out into the backyard, where the stable was for when my grandpa had his horse and cart.
Right, at then the back.
At the back, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which then... You had the bakehouse where my uncle used to work, where I spent many happy weekend every scoffing jam tarts and eating big pies.
Yeah.
And the house itself, I would say it was Victorian. You had the ground floor, you had the first floor where my nan sat. Then you had the second floor where mum and I slept.
Okay.
Then you had the top floor where my uncle, two uncles slept. Plus they had like a small attic.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, one they also had a very big cellar.
Right. So this was all above the shop?
All above the shop, yes.
So the whole extended family lived together?
Yeah, lived together. And dare I say, I'm not bragging or nothing, but my gran was very well known. She was very well respected.
Well, she must have been because she ran this shop
yeah.
and the bakery as well.
No, my uncle ran the bakery.
Oh, your uncle ran the bakery.
But he used to come out and bring the stuff into the shop to sell. And like I said, they sold. And in those days, I thought I was on thinking. How did they manage to survive?
Mm. So you say your grandmother was very well known and very well respected. Mm. As she'd always lived in that area?
Yes. Well, that's when she was born. Date of birth.
So that's Jane Rebecca Tapp.
Yeah.
She was born in 1888.
Yeah. And died in 1969. Because she managed to see she would be 80, was she? 12, 69.
68, yeah. 81. That would have been 80, so she'd been 81, yeah.
Because her birthday was in January.
Mm.
I got that from the library, give me that, because okay. I went in to find out something about it.
Right.
So
do you remember, obviously, loads of people from the neighbourhood and
I can remember.
There, but using the shop?
There was a shop over the road called Harvey's.
Mm-hmm.
There was a massive, big ironmonger's shop.
Oh, okay.
Alright. This is where the pub is now.
The pub, which pub now?
The student pub.
Oh, the Frog and Fiddle.
Yeah, Frog and Fiddle. Oh, sorry.
I don't even use this.
No, that used to be Harvey's Ironmongers.
Ironmongers, right.
And on the side of that, you know, you've got like, there's a... fence off partition and the house goes back.
Normandy House, yeah. Yeah,
where, which was something that was oldies. That used to be the, what they called, the Labour Exchange.
The big house, yeah, at the back, yeah.
Because there was one there and there was also one in St Paul's Street North.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always a gentleman who used to come over every day at 10 o'clock precisely,
mm-hmm,
two pies and a currant bun. Good morning, Mrs. Duff. Usual, please. And he was as Welsh as you could make him. You know, his voice was, and he would come over every day.
I
used to make them. Yeah. My uncle make them because he got the meat from the local butchers, which was three doors up from him.
Okay.
Taylor's
butchers.
Yeah. No, Taylor. Taylor. Had a son. Played water polo for Cheltenham.
Right.
Coming back in. And next door to my grand's was Hewlin's, the shoe repairers.
Okay.
Richard Hewlin, that was one of the, and we're very friends. Oh, and there was also a used car showroom, just because where the butcher shop is, there was an alley which goes into New Street.
Mm-hmm.
And there was car showrooms, George Barrett's showrooms, and he was the occupant. He was in Arthur Daly.
Right.
I'll tell you what, they could make a film for him, and he'd come out and spend him. He was a typical Chatham Smith. He didn't do no service during the war. He just somehow managed to, I think, have flat feet or something.
Right.
But I had to, my uncle had to go to London for something. And he said to me, would I like to go? Someone would stay in there. So I, and he said, well, Mr. Barrett's taking us. Oh. Well, back in the 40s, the posh cars, you know, they weren't cars, they were like bricks, you know, like bricks, you know, massive big standards and big boxes.
Yeah.
And he drove up to London, no problem at all, with the old A40, come back, done what we had to do, come back, all this stuff, thank you very much. I was, come back, my uncle said, you'd be secret back. There were only four at the time. But, and over the road from my grand shop, there was, on the corner of St Paul's Street, there was a grocery shop. Sorry, greengrocer shop.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come over because we go over and get the potatoes and stuff like that. Because my gran never had a garden because it's just all she had was a flower garden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had an outdoor privy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. that was flush, mate. It was one of the fairly flush ones.
Yeah.
And.
But what I suppose did a lot of the stores at the back, yeah, outdoor, yes, ones there.
And dare we say, have you ever heard of a gas mantle light?
No.
Something for you to check up. Right. It's, it's worked off gas. They hang on the wall, and you've got like, that's a Galima or gas, probably something.
No.
Put like a clipper in, and it's like a cloth, right, which reflects the gas.
Uh-huh.
And if you touch it, it goes like that. You dare and touch it.
Right.
And in my grand's living room, they never had a TV. All my uncle had was a wind-up gramophone,
uh-huh,
because he was an avid collector of opera.
Right.
He loved opera. For some unknown reason, he loved opera. And there was a range, a black, you've probably seen, have you ever been to Beamish or places like that?
Mm-hmm.
You go in the houses there, you see the fireplaces, which are black. Mm-hmm. So I can, you know, open up the grill and put the things in, and you have like a hot plate and put the kettle on. There was always a kettle mm-hmm. on the fireplace, on the top of the fire with hot water in. Mm-hmm. And when we was there, sort of used to have two or three kettles at the bath in front of the fire, because there was no such thing as a bath place.
Yeah.
And I to be honest, I still say, you know, we didn't get spoiled. Well, I did, because my sister came along in 1947, but we sort of moved up to Price Farm then. It was rationing.
Yeah.
Sweet rationing. What did my gran have? A sweet shop. No rationing. She took the coupons, but there was no rationing for gin.
So you didn't have it as bad as a lot of other people.
No. And I went to school at the parish school, which was around Nelson Gregory's school.
Yeah, yeah.
There was be a school this side. We went there, sort of like an infant school, like a pre-primary school.
Yeah.
Went there for about a couple of years.
Right.
So the winter's went to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, made a few mates, and then those people sort of moved because there was a lot of people, a lot of men coming back from the war, and they wanted houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they was told they'd come back, they could have houses.
Yeah.
Which they did do, given a due. All right, we moved to Price Farm.
Right, Price Farm is up by Randir, yeah. Isn't it? Near Sainsbury's.
We're at Sainsbury's.
Mm-hmm.
The other side.
When did you move there?
1947.
Okay. So that was you and your mother and your father.
Father and my sister, because she was only tiny then.
Right.
And we moved to what people seem to think was a Scourge prefabs.
Okay.
But people today would love it. You know, people who are homeless, they would love it. Because you had a fitted kitchen, you had a bathroom, you had two bedrooms, you had a front garden, you had a back garden.
It was luxuries.
It was luxuries compared to being down lower in the high street.
Mm-hmm.
It was luxury. And sort of, there was about, I think, 120 prefabs built there.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped there till 1950. Then, somewhere along the line, my dad must have got in touch with the council. And we then moved up to the Priors Road. I had a three-bedroom house up in Priors Road.
Right.
And I stopped there until I got married in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not your side of town.
That's right. But you say you used to go back to the shop every week.
Oh, yeah, I used to go. My mum would go down on a Saturday to help Nan in the shop.
Right.
Because Dad would be working. He'd be working at Hilliers. And so Mum would go down, take the bus pram down. Because in those days, you couldn't catch the bus down from where we lived. Mm-hmm. Catch the bus. It's like I can catch the bus, I'd say, from here up to Cuscat, you know, something like that. And I would go then, I'd go straight through, out the back to my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, there you are, he said, I saved you some jam. Because you bought jam, 7 pound tins of jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or else he said, Do you want to make a meat pie?
So, where was your father from, Jeremy?
My father was from Birmingham.
Right. Okay.
I don't see. This is where. If you want to go down my ancestry line, you can find out more.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know much more.
I don't know very much about. To be honest, I don't know very much about. I mean, my mum came from a place called, just up past Chisel Beach, Mm. Place called, there was a castle there called Corfe Castle.
Okay.
Which is on the Western Front. My dad always said he'd come from Birmingham because people say, well, we can spot a different accent across the ship.
Because
you're Irish, aren't you?
Of origin, I'm actually half Irish, half Italian.
Yeah, but you haven't got an accent.
No, because I grew up in Northampton. So.
Oh, well, that's a... The one was the shoe company.
Yeah, yeah.
Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah. Which one?
Yeah, born in Birmingham.
Oh, right, it's in there, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's an obituary for him.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, right, okay.
That was the first bit of pet. Bit of a guy called reported. I did prior to doing English at school.
Okay, right. Hilliers. So Hilliers was also on the High Street, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and so talking about Hilliers, they when my dad came back, he went to work there. And they'd get German prisoners of war because you had Ullinwood camp on the hill where prisoners of war was kept, and they came into town selling or bartering models which they made. And if I sell them today, they'd make a small fortune. Two German planes, wartime planes, a Dornier and a Messerschmitt made by a German prisoner of war.
Right.
And if I'd had those today, I'd be making a fortune on eBay.
Yeah.
But that's...
So when this was...
Oh, it's 2000-something.
Okay, 2004.
Yeah. My mum died 4 years before my dad. But he was... Like he said, I had to sort of remember. I had to see my sister and find out what did Dad do and what have I got this right. I phoned that through to the Echo office, and the woman phoned, come back and said,
"That's all good, Watson. That's all
he
can do is yak yak yak."
That's right. It's all good.
And I phoned her through to the Echo, and she read it back word for word. That's what we're putting into. Wow.
Okay. So in that period, so with your father working in the bakery.
No, my uncle's working in the bakery.
Oh, right, okay.
But my father was working at Hilliers.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is just up the road.
So, right, but everyone was working on the High Street pretty much. Yes. And your mum used to go and help out on the Saturday. And ground,
yes.
Okay.
Right, and dare we say, we'd done a bit of bartering with the local chip shop, which was just on the road,
mm-hmm.
Paul's Chip Shop. They had two chip shops in town who had Upper Paul's and Lower Paul's.
Right.
Lower Paul's was then by where the cinema...
And the bingo hall was, right?
I said, yeah. Well, that used to be a cinema. Oh, that's a big cinema, one, yeah. Cinema. And the one which we used was sort of off on an angle, straight across the road. And we'd go in there and Easter time... take a few hot cross buns over, and we'd come back out with a massive big parcel of chips. And we'd all sit, Nan would shut the shop.
Mm.
And we'd all sit in the... Well, we got in there, we could just make it in there.
Okay.
And we'd have chips and corned beef and fresh bread.
Mm.
Made from the bakehouse.
So, how would you, those early years, when you were a kid and used to go back there, and obviously your dad and your uncle and your grandmother all worked in this area, how would you describe what that area was like back then?
Very affluent.
So this was immediately after the war?
After the war, yes.
It was affluent.
Mm. Because you never, dare we say, it's like people say, you never had takeaways. There was hardly any takeaways. The pubs were in their own trade. Well, see what you think of this. Starting from where the High Street, Lower High Street begins, on the corner of Dix's Corner, right?
Yeah.
We go down on the left-hand side. You had Shenton's, which was a cloak shop.
Mm-hmm.
You had Harry Higgins, which was a second-hand shop. You had George Barrett's, the car dealer.
Right.
Then you had Jack Taylor's, the butcher. Hewlin's, the shoe people. Post office.
Yeah.
Gardner, Bloodworth's, another cake firm. You had Eames's Cafe, which was a very nice cafe. Then you had a paper shop. Then you had another small, which I can't remember what his name was. Then you had the pub, which was in those days called the Royal Oak.
Oh, right, okay, that's the one they're doing up now, isn't it?
I don't know, it's the one which is...
It's closed down now.
Oh, is it closed down? Then you had, just past that, you had a little entrance where they took the old beer in. Then you had another butcher shop. Then you had a hairdresser's.
Right.
Then you came down to a small shop called United Yeast Company, where my uncle used to get his yeast for the bread. Then you had Dimry's fruit and veg shop. Then you had another street which went out into New Street. I can't remember the name of the street. Yeah. But coming down, then you had the small, little smaller shops. And going down, and all these shops were busy. Then coming down on the other side of the road, you had Harvey's, you had the greengrocers, you had a gentleman who done repairs, to radio repairs. Then you had a chap, which is still there today, Hardings, which is still there now, which does sell all little bits and bobs, you know, petrol stuff, screws and that. Then you had Miss Nealon's, the wall people, which if you read the, if you've been reading Facebook, you just see people mentioned her on
there.
Then you had Boots, the chemist, double fronted shop, which is now, which what, oh, I don't know, I'm still perhaps, because a big chemist called Boots, but then after a while it got turned into a restaurant. Then it became a cheap breakfast place.
Mm.
Then you come down, then you had a couple of a Chandler. They got Chandler with all the stuff down there. Then you had Hamlin's, which was a bicycle repair shop. Coming past that, you had a couple more little small haberdasher shops. Then you had the Pools, Lower Pools chip shop.
Yeah.
Which was very handy for when you come up for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
You had a car showrooms.
So another one. Another car.
Then you have the cinema. Mm. It started off as the Ritz. Then it became the Esaldo. Mm. And the Esaldo was the first cinema in Cheltenham to have CinemaScope. Mm. First film.
Because where at that time, where was the other cinema in Cheltenham?
Other cinemas.
Yeah, cinemas. There were quite a few,
right? Yeah, right. You had
them all around the town.
You had the Regal, which is in the promenade.
Right.
Which is the big office block as you come down, turning where the fountain is.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
But Rose Scott House.
Right.
All right. That was the Regal. You then had a small cinema, which was next to what they call the Drill, or the TA Centre, which is on the side of Primark's.
Right.
And you came round on the Ring Road, and you came to the Coliseum, which is, there were office blocks. Then you had, just about 100 yards from there, you had the Gorman stroke Odeon.
God, there was so many then, you know. Yeah,
then, then you had one in the high street called the Palace, which was then by the side, which was by the side of Marks and Spencer's as it was.
Yeah.
Then you had the Loughborough Cinema, the Daffodil.
Oh, right, okay, on the Suffolk, right.
On Suffolk, Daffodil, yeah. And that was it. Then they all gradually shut.
Yeah.
One by one, they materialised.
So, you say this area was really affluent, yeah. Right? So, who were the people that used all these shops? Were they people just from that area or all from around the town that used to come and use the shops in that area, do you think?
Well, say that because it expanded, right? You're on the high street here,
mm-hmm.
and you had the shops, but you also had houses, well, by your place, you know, yeah, yeah. College Street, you had houses houses in Swindon Street, yeah. Hudson Street, Granville Street.
Yeah, St. Paul's,
in that area, and at the other side were New Street and Ambrose Street and places like that.
And who were the people living there?
Just normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had their own businesses, like Nan and Jack Taylor's. And they all were family names.
Yeah.
There was no.
Yeah, obviously the names of the shops you say they all sound like family names.
There was no sort of corporate names like McDonald's or places like that. It was all Nylon's, right? They had Miss Nylon. Looked after the wall side of their shop and toys, but down the road they was co-merchants,
mm-hmm.
all part of the same family, which was a couple of doors down from the cinema.
Yeah.
Horse and Cart, Nylon's, and it's amazing because people, you know, I know Miss Nylon. My grandparents used to work for them and things like that. You to do on this Cheltenham Now Facebook thing, you'd be surprised how many people can relate. They do one now on where was you born and what road did you live in. Yeah. It's hit about 200 people all over town.
Well, that's one of the good things about all this social media stuff, that it allows people to do that more easily. You do get a lot of rubbish on that. But it's...
Yeah, I've got one here now. Millbrook Street, the woman here, right? Oh, somebody has to start something now.
What was I going to... So, when you were a kid down there, do you remember, was it, you know, obviously you used to go down every Saturday. Was there a lot of other children as well around there that used to play in the streets, or...?
No, they weren't allowed to, play in the streets.
Right. Because obviously the road was really busy as well.
The road was very busy. To say that, mind you, had the Austin swimming baths. You weren't too far from Pitfield, but you just went straight through, went up one road and straight through, and you come up to Pitfield Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are children of my age there would sort of go to the railway station to see the trains.
Right, because that was round the back near the school, right?
Yeah. I can remember my uncle Edgar, when he came home after being demobbed, the first thing he'd done when he had a bit of spare time was take me to what we called the Paddy Gates in Austin Lane to watch the steam trains.
Right, okay.
And he had no... He brought
those gates that are kind of still there. On
yeah,
Austin
the gates
Lane,
are still
right?
there. Yeah. And he brought me back because he thought the sweet was still rushing. He brought me back a big bag of sugared almonds from Egypt, and he said, "Here, I'll put you some sweet." And I stopped the lot. And I've never had sugar almonds since. It made me that bad. He probably but he took me down, he sat me on top of the federal, and we watched the trains coming up from Lansdowne Station to go up, further on the road.
So, when was it that they took that train station away? Was it not long after that?
The
one that was
St James's.
Yeah,
it was still there in 56 because we used the railway station. We went up to Schoolboy Internationals up to Wembley.
Right. Football.
Football. Yeah. Every year.
Right, to watch them.
Watch football.
Yeah. Right.
And you've never seen so many school kids all your life. Parents were allowed to go if they looked after us.
Right.
They put on specials.
Right.
They'd have four or five specials. Same. And they'd all sort of disappear up to God knows where they'd
right.
And they'd all go to Wembley. The old Wembley, by the way.
Yeah. I bet I went to that a few years before it was knocked down. What was I going to ask you, Jim, about the, again about your grandma?
Yeah.
And you said that she was like really well respected.
Oh, yeah. Strange enough, I'm going to mention, mention Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady who knows my daughter. I happened to mention that my grand. I think I mentioned it to you.
Mm-hmm.
About what she wore. And she went into mourning.
I remember you saying that right now.
After my gram died, she went into mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always wear like this black velvet dress and a cameo choker, which the gram would give her. And the lady who knows my daughter remembered that. And she said, I was scared to go in the shop. But she had a lovely smile, she said. She had a gorgeous smile. And, you couldn't do no wrong. Well, I couldn't. I could, because I was the first grandson.
Yeah, you had a special place.
Yeah.
So
when she died, when she had the funeral, the high street from the shop down to Gas Green, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Was more or less shut.
So the other shops owners?
Back, yeah.
And when was that?
1970.
Okay.
There was a copper outside the shop, saluted her.
So that was when your granddad?
When
your grand died?
Yeah. I don't know very much about my grand because I was, like I said, I was only tiny.
Oh, yeah, because he died when you were alive. So, but when your grandmother, so a lot of the other shops paid their respects by closing for the day. Wow.
You wouldn't see that today.
No. Well, this is what I was going to ask you. There's two things I want to ask you. We'll do the first one first, concentrating on that early period of when you were younger on the high street. How you said it was really affluent, it was really busy. Do you have a sense of how different that area was from other parts of the town? Or was it?
Well,
did people consider that a different part of
town? It was like a lemonus. You sort of, it was always, you lived in Lower High Street. Or it was Lower Dockham. Which is down past the gas works, which they termed it Lower Dockham.
Yeah.
You have the top end of the high street, which was more, how can you put it, building societies and banks and duns, clubs, people.
Yeah.
You had Camden House
and
the promenade. You had shows and lances. Then you had wards.
Yeah.
What we had down the bottom end of the high street was Dix's.
Right.
Which was, it'd be like Primark is to Marks and Spencer's today.
Ah, okay.
That's so.
So that was the them. know, the kind of the bankers, the lawyers,
all
that.
Well, Lloyds Bank, you know, Lloyds Bank in town?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the Yonks.
Yeah, yeah, I know that's...
And there was banks all over the place. Where Lloyds Bank is, there was Barclays Bank, which is, I think, still Barclays.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the corner, Cambry, where the Devon area was, there was the National Westminster Bank. Then you had, on the corner of Winchcombe Street,
mm-hmm.
you had Martin's, Family Bankers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Coutts of London, that was.
Yeah, yeah.
So
why was there this them and us? Was it a class thing? Like working class?
It was a working... I think it was class distinction. You get it all. You get it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, where do you live? Mercy Road.
So you even back then, even though the Lower High Street was very affluent and busy, you still think there was this class divide?
You could go up so far because you had the grammar school.
Right.
In the High Street.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Priory.
Mm-hmm.
Which, they said after, you had the Priory right next door to the grammar school.
Yeah.
They knocked it down.
It was a beautiful building, right?
Yeah. Victorian.
Mm.
You know, it was built on the same lines as Charlton College.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you ever go around. You look at the churches, they're all Gothic styled.
Mm.
You go to St. Phillips's and, well, except the one behind the library, because that's the oldest one in town.
Oh, yeah, that's medieval one.
That's medieval, that is. But you look at St. Phillips, look at the one up.
Even the Catholic Church, there's St. Gregory's.
St. Gregory's. Those the guys, they, you haven't got the people, all right, they only got paid, works of art,
mm-hmm.
and things like, how do they do that?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Christchurch.
Yeah.
So, they're all sort of built churches, which were built in the 1800s. Except the one behind the library. Today, you wouldn't see it.
No. So, it's interesting.
And there was people who worked on churches got paid. And St. Gregory's, where was St. Gregory's?
Hmm.
Down the bottom end of town.
Hmm.
You had St. Peter's Church, which was down... below bottom Tesco's.
Well,
which is now, I think, a rock climbing centre or something.
Yeah, it's nearby, it's behind it, next to it, yeah, yeah.
Now that was built, you know, so people had money, and also you had the gasworks, which was at the very end of the High Street,
mm-hmm.
which lots of people worked in, because you had all the coal coming in from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Been dropped off into the coal yards.
Yeah.
Like I said, you had Miss Neilon's coal. They all picked the coal up. Coal wharves and everything. They all picked. Plus you had, it's going slightly off, you had a market.
Mm-hmm.
Every Thursday, a market. And where we got Market Street from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the abattoir, where they killed stuff in the market. Which is also now all gone.
Mm.
Then you had, and school started to progress, you know, school started to come in.
There was this class divide, which is, you know, pretty much still there now, still like you say. So the people that lived in all the streets off the High Street then, you know, the ones that didn't have their businesses what do you remember what they did or what, you know?
They were probably general labourers.
Mm-hmm.
Labourers and shop assistants and things like that.
Yeah.
Also, bearing in mind that down halfway, more or less opposite the cinema,
mm-hmm.
there was what they called Road to the House.
Right.
That was what they call a doss house.
Right.
Where all the drunkards and all got down. Got down. Boyle Shakespeare.
Yeah.
The road Boyle Shakespeare, if you know Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be there called Roten House. But, and you'd always see him hanging around on the street. Outside it was this chip shop. You'd always, because, you had the shops down there. But you also had people working the shops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Welsh guy. There was about six or seven people working in the shop there.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Higgins, he was a second-hand dealer. There was always four or five people in the shop.
Mm.
You go to the newspaper shop, there wasn't one person in the shop. Mm. There was four or five people. Yeah. It was like when I put my first job. It wasn't just me. There was four people on the provision side,
mm-hmm.
and there was three ladies doing the grocery store, because I worked for a big firm called George Mason's.
Mm-hmm.
So there were seven people with jobs, and jobs then were easier to have than what they are today.
Mm-hmm.
So you always say everybody was working, or the wages, but you could go down and see, you asked what people did. You'd go down to, on a Saturday morning, the kids would go to the cinema, either to the Gorman's or the Regal,
mm-hmm.
for Saturday morning cereals and things like that. That was their main day, sixpence or ninepence.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 kids off the streets in two cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock, they come early down the town, that was it. We used to make things, so father would make me like a soapbox trolley, you know, to have, just to push in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make it, but I couldn't take it on High Street because it was too narrow to do. And so, it is narrow actually.
There isn't much space.
There's not much space there. No. But saying that, mind, there was no. You never had problems with parking. Because there was no traffic on the road.
Yeah, it was just people walking, right? People walking, right.
And I suppose you had what I would classify as a post war. What was the word I'm looking for? Post-war feeling, you know, we'd won the war, but can we put it right? How long would it take to put right?
Mm.
Can we? All right, if it had been London, it would be completely different. But there was a Cheltenham, they got bombed twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then further on down Stonemill Street, I think it was Stonemill Street. Then it got good. And that was only done because the German fighter planes, bomber planes, was going up to Coventry.
Mm.
It was following the 7
yeah.
up and probably jettisoning their load coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that one, you had doubters. And there was more war manufacturers making stuff for a lot of the Cheltenham firms, Martins, Tellyoys, things like that. They were all making war equipment. So, like, you know, fair enough, we can do it. But, you know, I like, because, like I said, the people would come, I'd be in the shop, I'd have to be in the bakehouse, I'd come out into the shop with my mum, sit on a massive big stool in the shop, and it was all, hello, is that your son? Well, any cute. I haven't seen you for ages. Oh, that's the way I've seen you. You had a short one, you had curls.
Yeah. So, one of the things you said at the beginning earlier as well, one of the things you said at the beginning was that you saw that the area changed a lot. So obviously you moved away, but you kept going back there, and your dad and your uncles all worked in the area, and your grandma was there till 1970. What did you mean, and how it changed over the years?
It got, okay, it got, shops were shut in. The businesses were supermarkets and bigger supermarkets had opened up.
So when was this? When are you talking?
It'll be about 1960s. Mm-hmm. That the early supermarkets would open up. Then the high, then shops, and then you started getting the major supermarkets like Sainsbury's, Tesco's.
Mm.
When Tesco's hit the bottom of the high street, the shop started to shut.
Mm.
And when I say, do you just look at the famous? Moore's moved as well, because
mm-hmm.
that moved up to the now defunct Beechwood Place.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, just past Beechwood Place, where, oh God. Beechwood Place was Woolworths, because it was two doors up from where I worked.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Beechwood Place was Woolworths.
Right.
So, because that moved from more or less the middle of town up to that end, you saw the trade started to, the football, what I call football, slow down.
Yeah.
It's,
and nothing replaced it. So nothing replaced.
No.
The shops just closed.
No.
So did your grandma's place also start struggling, or was it okay until?
It was okay because, like I said, my uncle, he was a one-off. It's like if you wanted something, if you wanted a cake or a bread, it was, they would say, if we went shopping. Or, well, I'd go down on a Saturday and we'd have cakes for Sunday treat, specially made, you know, specially prepared.
Yeah.
And those cakes would be in the shop. You know, we'd go, we'll have a couple of those. And it was hands one-to-one,
mm-hmm.
which you don't get these days.
Mm.
You know, you can go round a supermarket with a shopping trolley and there's people, you're all right.
So it's more personal service.
It was a personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got some people got to know you. You go into a shop and think, oh, especially if you went into, dare we say, Shenton's, which was a gents outfitters. This is one of the in my mid-teens,
mm-hmm.
we go into Shenton's and get the latest fashion. We go to the salesperson, which we knew. And he knew then to see your measurements.
Yeah.
And if you
want... Your tastes and what you want and what you're looking for.
And there I'll say, in the mid-60s, well, late 50s, mid-60s, the fashion for, shall we say, lads changed drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shoes. Well, just around the corner from my grand shop,
mm-hmm.
there was a shoe shop called Adcock's.
Mm.
And which is now the Balloon and Banner shop.
Okay.
So that's a heating come on. You could go in there, Cuban, buy Cuban shoes, right? Pointed toes. 2-inch heels. These were men's shoes, by the way. 2-inch heels, side guts, this. And you go in there every 3 months and the fashion will change.
Mm.
But you go in, new pair of, and new pair of shoes, new style in lads. Hmm. you were war of words because the pointed like after war of words, the head would sort of flick up like that. You only had to do was sticks of toilet tissue in the bottom to stop them. But the hill, you know, it was like doing the Spanish dance at a town hall. But you know, but that was personal service. Mm-hmm. So you go across to Harvey's. Oh, can we have some nails? Certainly. I will get in the bag and the shovel, not the scoop. Oh, the smell. It was like the smell from the bacon was putting up. You go into the harvest and you'd have linseed oil, stuff, the smell of the... It's like... Have you ever smelt a steam train?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you smell a steam train when it's going away. Oh, you can't beat it. You know, if they could sell it in bottles, they'd make a fortune. Well, that's what all these old people say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So your grandma's business was okay?
Yeah.
But others started closing down?
Yeah.
So as that started happening, did the area become a bit more kind of, did you know, like that idea that this part of town was a bit more run down than others?
Yeah, because you started then, you started to get a lot of, dare we say, second-hand shops.
Mm.
Especially halfway down, there was a massive big second-hand shop. Mm. So I mean massive. And Jack Browning's, it was Browning's they were called. And you could buy anything, you could buy new stuff, you could buy second-hand stuff. Okay. But it was all sort of stuff which people didn't want, people were selling. Because austerity sort of... Cheltenham. Took a while, mind, but it was starting to affect the bottom end because the pub, once the pub started to shut, you could see it coming up from the bottom end of town, the pubs were gradually shut.
Right.
Of course, once the pub shut, the train, there was no train, people spending their money in the pubs, so they weren't getting harassed at night. There we say we got attacked by attacked by students from St Paul's and St Mary's.
Really?
Yes, when the college opened down the bottom.
So when what day was for that? That was...
You know where St Francis Hall is?
Yeah, yeah.
That was
a teaching college, right?
Yeah, the teaching college. It was physical training.
Right.
Because when we was at school, we used to have the students teach us PE.
Right, okay.
From there. And, of course, like student interest started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know yourself, students, don't have to tell it, you've probably done it.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's when about, in about the 60s, or late 60s?
Late 60s, no, it would be, my grand shop was still going in, like I said, in 1970. Because when she died, my uncle took it over. But then... It was only him and my mum would go down. We'd go down to see him. But then he shut it. I think he sold it, to be honest. Made some money because he sold it as, not as a business, but as...
As the whole building.
The whole building. Mm. Like I said, it was three stories, yeah. Plus a cellar.
Yeah.
Because I went to the shop a while ago, and I said to him, oh, do you know what was here before you, mate? He said, yeah, student net base. I said, no, I said, before that. Nope. I said, I used to live here. I said, yeah, I used to live here. That's all right. So I showed him what. I said, down the back there. I said, you still got the backyard? Yeah. I said, you still got the old bacon? I said, the back. Oh, he said, there's an oven. Big black oven.
So the oven's still in there?
It was. Well, no, sir, and also I saw it was there. And that, see, that oven was not steam.
Hmm.
It was coal oven.
Coal oven.
And it was quite a big thing. Because he could get stuck in at least 8 layers, trays, in the oven at the same time.
Right.
Because we took, use a bit of social history. Easter time, okay? Hot cross buns. There was me mum, me cousin Gordon, me cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
and my uncle, my gran, making hot cross buns.
And the whole family.
Oh, yeah. And...
because the demand was that high.
The demand was... we were sold over 4,000. Because they... as soon as we was sending them in, into the shop, people was buying them, and people had orders for nearly 2,000. Two dozen cross buns, and my job was to put the cross on. Oh, and put the egg yolk across the top.
Right, okay. To give them the shine.
Yeah, give them the shine. And my mum would be in the shop with Elizabeth, and Gordon would be at the back, because would you believe it, he was a doctor at one of the hospitals in London. And he'd come down specially to help Uncle Edgar to his hot cross buns. And the best thing about it was, there was another baker shop, Butler's, it sold out of hot cross buns. And the manager from Butler's came to see Nan and said, could he buy a tray of hot cross buns off us? Because he never had enough to... because they baked to whatever they had. In those days, people, you could go to Asda or Pesa and buy cross buns now,
yeah.
But they're not as nice as they used to be. You get the old mix out, currants would be in on the tray.
Yeah,
I could still do them now.
So, this is a kind of broader question. So, I get the sense that when you were a kid and you were growing up. When you were there, you moved over here in this area, but you used to go back there a lot. And everyone respected each other. Were all these shops that were kind of connected.
Yeah.
There was a big sense of community there.
Yeah, we knew the people, like I said, Hewlins.
Mm-hmm.
Were you sitting around with the two? Are you sitting around with the Mr. Hewlins' two sons?
Mm-hmm.
And there was Jack Taylor, always in his shop because. So we sort of get it. Go across the chip shop, Paul's. They all knew. Oh, you come across with some chips. Miss Nealon, my mum always used to get her knitting from there. And of course, she was also a toy shop as well. So my beard would be element.
Yeah.
And they didn't mind. You could sort of sit down on the floor playing with jacks. Well, they didn't mind.
No.
You went into the paper shop and you had sixpence, you'd go and buy a Beano or go and buy the Dandy.
Mm.
And you'd be talking to, they'd all talk to you. You know.
And did that aspect of life there change when it started?
Yeah. People didn't want to know things.
Did a lot of people move out of the area?
I wouldn't say move out, no. I think, like I said, jobs were harder to come by, so you kept your jobs.
Mm.
And, like I said, you could see the degeneration of the shop shut in. It's like like I said, you had the supermarkets, which started to then, like I said, the railway station shut.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't, the nearest station then was Lands End, which was the other side of town.
Mm.
The job centre shut, Dixie's shut, so all the shops which people knew were all closing, so I meant saying you had to go further up into town.
And so it meant people didn't go to this area as much anymore?
No, people never did. The footfall was getting lower and lower and lower.
And so do you think it never really recovered from that?
It hasn't recovered.
No,
unless you call fast foods.
Mm. And that's what it's ever been ever since then?
Yeah, ever since then. I mean, it's like, well, you know yourself, have you ever seen a new shop open in the Royal Street?
Well, no. I mean, I still go to a barber's down there, but I...
Not Barwell.
Yeah, Bramwell's.
Bramwell's.
Yeah. Don't like them.
Christian. No.
Why not?
I walked past it a couple of times, and I look at, they had all these funny fashion magazines in the
barber. Oh yeah, well, they're barbers, you know.
Yeah, but the barbers I went to had decent magazines to read, because I went to the barbers just below them.
Right.
There was a barber shop just the other side of the pub.
Mm.
So I'd go down there in the barber's, go down America with my dad, and I'd sit in the barber's chair on top of the bench, and I'd be heard him. And he'd go in there and sit there and I'd be, who's going to win the match today?
Right.
You get that in... Sorry.
Well, one last question. Speaking to other people about the area and looking at its history, and we talked about the Shamrock Pub, the Irish pub, yeah, that used to be called something else before.
King's Head. No! It was the Royal Oak.
The Royal Oak, sorry.
Because there was always a picture of the Royal Oak tree.
Do you remember people from, like, that were not English or immigrants or people from other areas, from other parts of the world, living in or coming to that part of town?
Not until the mid-70s.
Okay.
Then you started getting the Chinese,
mm-hmm,
with the takeaways. Then you get towards the railway bridge at the bottom of the road,
mm-hmm,
you get a couple of Asians, mm-hmm, with small shops would be open. Then, of course, you then got in the late 90s, you then got the Polish people, mm-hmm, coming.
Okay. So before that, wasn't there a big Irish community?
There was a very big Irish community, yeah.
Right.
That's why the pubs.
Okay.
That's why they loved the two. They loved the Shakespeare, and they loved the
Royal Oak. Yeah.
Because, well, you just got to see, they got the tricolour inside the.
Yeah. And so, how did people get on? Did they mix very well, or?
Oh, it was always, they did, yeah, because it was, you worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you worked with the people. Regardless of whether they decided, this is my language, £9 shit out of the weekend, you still work with them on the Monday,
mm-hmm,
and everything was forgotten.
Yeah.
And they were so you know, if there's anything ever, if there was ever a collection wanted, they were the first ones to put the money in.
Mm.
Or if people were down, you know, some down the house. I'll tell you what you did, what you never saw.
Mm-hmm.
You never seen anybody like you do in the High Street today. You know what I'm going to say? With people begging.
Right. You've
never seen that.
Never seen that.
No. That's one thing you've never seen.
Okay.
Anyway, what are we doing?
We're doing very, very good.
We've got food, lad.
I'm going to stop it there.
All right.